It's the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and you are watching the weekly Ringer series here on clanofthegreywolf.com. Now, as you can probably tell from my voice from the lack of videos recently post New Year, I actually am getting over a little bit of the illness that's been sweeping over the East Coast, as you've probably seen in the news. So there's probably going to be a few more sniffles and coughs and bad Commodore voicings on this particular Weekly Ringer than many of you are used to. But in any case, I will do my best to continue on. And I think I'm getting much better now, so I think hopefully by next week things will just kind of be back into the normal swing of things. I also have a new camera, which I'm going to be using for the Weekly Ringer moving forward, but I haven't quite figured it all out yet. So until I have all that stuff figured out, I'll just be shooting things the way that I always have. So a little weaker, a little bit more, I guess, under the weather than I normally am here for the Weekly Ringer, but it's not going to stop it for this week. I wanted to make sure that I got into the conversation that you guys had really kept going for a while now since I posted the last Weekly Ringer about the way that the internet has affected our minds, and some interesting questions therein. I won't get into all that right now, but we're going to talk about that today. I'll also then ask you guys a question for next week, which I think is another question about commemoration, another question about the mind, but I think in a completely different way. So we're going to keep that kind of thing going, and it has a little bit to do with what I did over my New Year, so I'm going to get into that in a little while as well. Okay, so as I always do, I'd like to kind of welcome some of the new folks to the community. This week we only have one as far as I can see, which is Ruben. I don't know if that's Ruben, or as in, kind of an interesting take on, my wonderful co-founder, Mr. Rue, or if this person's name is actually Ruben, and then they just found a creative way to say it, or if there's some kind of crazy Scandinavian way of spelling Ruben that I'm unaware of. In any case, Ruben, it's great to have you. I won't make fun of your name anymore because I clearly have no idea what's going on with it. Anyway, welcome to the community. Thank you for being a part of the Weekly Ringer, and I hope to see you commenting more and more as we go on into future episodes. Okay, now, last time I asked you guys a question that caused a little bit of an uproar. Didn't really cause an uproar. Several of you commented on the fact that maybe the question wasn't asked in the best way. I get this a lot. Any of you that have watched some of the Weekly Ringers understand perfectly well what I mean, and that is that some of the questions that I ask are purposefully ambiguous because I want to see where you guys take it. Some of them are worded poorly because I wasn't really thinking about some of the ramifications. Some of them are just short-sighted, by me, really. I mean, I wasn't really kind of taking into account a lot of the things and directions that we could go in to have some of the conversations we've had here on the Weekly Ringer. And so, I want to kind of go back over the question I asked last week. And the question I asked, was really about, is the internet making us dumber? And I thought, there were a couple people had a problem because of the term dumb, the implications that it had. Some of you kind of translated it the way that you wanted it to answer the question, which I thought was perfect, and what I was hoping many of you do. Some of you interpreted that as stupid or lacking intellect, or some of you took it as, incapable of memorization, or there were a lot of different ways that it was taken. But I wanted to kind of clarify my own part of this. I'm just going to jump right into the definition that I just jumped actually on dictionary.com to go find out what it was and what the definition was. Here's the definition straight from the source on that. Dumb is lacking intelligence or good judgment. Stupid or dull-witted. All right. Now, there are a lot of things going on there. Lacking, of course we have several thousand ways of measuring intelligence, although I'm not sure that any of them are as prominently focused upon as the ability to memorize a lot of information. Maybe that would instead make someone knowledgeable or, kind of a walking resource, but it doesn't necessarily make them intelligent, which is what many of you said. And therefore, the incapability to memorize a lot of things might not also make them dumb. I get that. With that being said, folks, I think most of you got the point of where I was going with this. So I'm going to kind of ignore the idea that there is about a million ways to interpret the question that I asked. And that there are really a lot of other ways that we could go into this in terms of how this really means. Or what the question really could mean, rather. And instead, I'm going to focus on what I think most of you latched onto and what I really meant by the question. Excuse me. The first of many, folks. You have been forewarned. In any case, what I meant was, is the internet somehow becoming a tool within which the entirety of the human race is kind of losing its grip on reality? But really, beyond that, is it helping us kind of unlearn some of the things that we've learned? God, I know that as someone that has studied ontological formations before, I mean, let me tell you, I know that these conversations are full of holes. Anyone that's out there that's a philosophy person, or anyone out there that has taken any time to study really much of anything at a graduate level or beyond is going to have such a problem with our conversation today and so much of the nomenclature that I'm using here. But in any case, folks, we're just having a good, intelligent conversation among equals here, so that's what it's all about. I'm just going to continue on and try not to get caught up in that. Let me talk about a couple things that flowed through the conversation that I thought was interesting to point out, as I'm doing pretty much for every episode now. One is, many of you thought the internet really is kind of just a new medium, and therefore, it is indeterminate. Its effects are therefore indeterminate, and it is therefore kind of more of a tool that can be used to do a lot of things, and is not in and of itself an agent of making people dumber or making people smarter. It is instead a tool that we as humans use to accumulate or disseminate knowledge and information. I agree with that. I think the internet is a medium. However, there is also 50, 60, 70 years of communication research that would really dictate that the medium has a lot more to do with the message and content that it broadcasts than is so simply kind of removed from it as kind of just an onlooking tool that helps us get things. These things arise not in a vacuum, they arise inside certain contexts, cultural contexts, critical contexts, cultural and social contexts. And I think so, you know, in other words, different spheres of influence all over the world. And when those things arise under such circumstances, they actually aren't just these kinds of objective reporters and become something that is a little bit different. It is marked by its own subjectivity. And rather than getting into a huge conversation with that, I will just say this. I agree with that sentiment. I just think it's more complicated than that, which is why I asked the question. Number two, here's the problem when I say internet now, and I think it's very true of almost anything you could talk about on the web. You could talk about when you say internet, like the web. You could be talking about wikis, or you could be talking about Wikipedia. You could be talking about blogs. You could be talking about applications, so apps, things that we use the internet for, right? games. Whatever really the internet comes in contact with or enables us to do, we could do an entirely new weekly ringer question about that particular thing. I've asked a question several times before about online services, Xbox Live, PlayStation, right? The PlayStation Network, these kinds of things, and how they affect the way that our minds work and the way that we play games. We could easily have one of these questions for each of them. Is Xbox Live making us dumber? You could make an argument for that. What I think I tried to do with this question, though, is instead try to limit ourselves to the internet as a whole, which largely, I think, is dictated by the things that disseminate information the quickest, which many of you, excuse me, really keyed up on that very, very early. Wikipedia, Google searching, JSTOR, several places where you could get online references. Those kinds of things are really what I was hinting at. Online libraries, so on and so forth. Those things are really what I was going for, because those are the kind of the dimensions of and mediums of that the internet really employs in order to disseminate information. And so you all picked up on that. And it could be all over the place, but I wanted to stay more general and talk about just the internet itself. And realizing that this question came out of something much, much simpler than this, it came out of just kind of a musing about the use of grammar. But I'll get into that in just a minute. Let's get into the contributions from you specifically. The Bowtie guy got us kicked off with talking about the internet brings out our inner stupidity. Now, before I agree with that, let me take a step back from Bowtie guy's comment and let me see if I can get to what he was actually saying, which is that the internet has the capability to make all of us pretty stupid, but only in as much as it is a reflection of humanity and not some kind of silver bullet to solve all of our problems, the way that the internet has been reflected and built over the many, many, you know, decades now. It is actually a reflection of our inner self. This is the clarity moment that all of us as a society have in the late 90s and early 2000s, really more the early 2000s, specifically after September 11th. What we realize is that the internet is not determinately good, and it isn't something that simply eliminates problems. The internet is uniquely good at propagating information. The internet is particularly good at disseminating information and communicating, but the internet is just as good at propagating really bad things as it is really good things. And so the Bowtie guy is talking about the idea of it really is a reflection of the nastiness of humanity. And folks, it doesn't take long or a very difficult search or a lengthy search of the internet to see the worst parts of humanity, just as much as I think it doesn't take too lengthy of a search to go and find some of the best parts of humanity as well. And so I think the Bowtie guy's point is that the internet has, to this point, probably propagated a lot of really, really horrible things. And unfortunately, much of what is out there is disgusting and terrible. Just like everything that's out there from humanity. Most of, you know, some of the things that are out there that represent the nature of humanity are awful and dirty and disgusting. But there are many, 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 many great things out there. And I think, you know, to throw it all out would be a tremendous mistake and would be, in the end, not a true embracement of freedom itself, which is something the internet, I think, stands for uniquely. And so I agree with Bowtie Guy. I think it is a reflection of us. And what a disgusting and pitiful kind of picture that paints about humanity. Sorry, I didn't mean to be a downer. That was just kind of a thought I had. Mr. K made a point that several of you echoed throughout, and I actually could have turned Mr. K's thought here into one of the prevailing arguments throughout and really summarized so many of your arguments. He says, you know, it's not making us dumber necessarily. What it's making us is lazier. And to this point, I think, and he obviously cited several sources, being a teacher himself, and I appreciated those, I think we all did, to understand kind of how the nature of students has changed. And we all kind of see this, right? We see kind of this de-evolution of of students as we kind of get older. We see how these you know, value in terms of knowledge has gone down tremendously, and how students nowadays really accept a lot of awful things as work, and you know, there is a tremendous amount of laziness that goes on by virtue of the fact that information is so accessible. So I agree with that 100%, and I think Mr. K is kind of cueing in on the fact that the internet, by making so many things readily available, might be making us lazier, but it's also making us, I would argue, intellectually lazy. And that is the essence of the question. So if the internet is making us intellectually lazy, then is it not also making us dumber? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I don't know. Let's keep going. Sonic Rose. You know, this is an interesting point. And I told you guys last time when I asked the question, Sonic Rose is actually the one that inspired this question, because we were having a conversation during the marathon about how bad grammar really has just become a part of culture. You know, I remember being, you know, playing Counter-Strike back in the late 90s and early 2000s, you know, when LeetSpeak was kind of taking on its own little universe out there. And now this kind of geek speak, which isn't really LeetSpeak, it's just kind of amalgamations of all the different, you know, speech, geek speech communities out there, has really propagated, you know, itself out there into the cultural zeitgeist. And to the point where now almost everyone, like when my dad texts me now, he uses a letter R for the word A-R-E. And I feel like that's such a horrible and terrible thing. You know, I've never done that, and I hope to never do it in my life because I don't want to lose that ability to be able to write as a coherent person. I'll tell you this, in business, I've seen people write in business now with tremendously bad grammar and with bad spelling. And not just because they're writing an email on their iPhone with autocorrect, but because that's what they've taught their devices and themselves to do as a shorthand for being able to disseminate information. I think this is terrible. And I think the internet has really glorified the as several of you said this about, you know, we had to condense things. Mays made the point, for example, of condensing speech into more digestible formats, which I think is always a heuristic, meaning that it's a cognitive shortcut, meaning that it actually takes away a huge part of the argument. It takes away all the meat and potatoes and strips it down to something that is almost useless, which is just the crux and doesn't actually get us to what the whole argument is really about. Grammar, for better or for worse, is being affected in this regard. If you look at the words that get added to the Oxford English Dictionary every year, because every year they have a list of those words, and they put it out, I think, in December every year, the words get just more and more ridiculous as the years go on. Now, some of them are interesting, like common parlance, like to Google something. So Google is a verb, is in the Oxford English Dictionary. It means to go out into the internet and search something by virtue of the search engine Google. Wow, interesting, right? That's a word that wouldn't have ever been in anyone's parlance even just 15 years ago. So it's completely changed. And I think that the way the lexicon has changed and the way, that's not necessarily a bad thing, by the way, but the way the grammar has changed, I think, is a terrible thing. And as we move forward in life, some of you are much more practical. You say, as long as people can understand what messages are, I don't care how people speak. Grammar is just a set of rules. There's no specification or reason or rhyme to that. I am amenable to that position, and I agree with what you're saying. I don't know. I'm not really there on that one. Mr. Andy Creighton talked about the ease of information access. So the fact that the internet is actually making us smarter because of the fact that things are so much easier to get a hold of. I think that's very true. You know, and I am absolutely on the same page. Who out there has not done this before? You go look something up on Wikipedia just because you want a quick 5-minute reference. If you want to go look at other stuff, you can, which I've done before. But then you find yourself 10 or 12 Wikipedia pages down the line because you got so interested in all the different ancillary parts of it. I do that all the time, folks. And I think it does help to broaden our perspectives. And I've picked up so many small, trivial bits of information by doing that, that I think I think that's a very, very good point. To the extent, though, that it's made me smarter, I'm not sure. I just know that it certainly helped me pick up on a lot of very trivial pieces of information, which could help me win a trivia game. That's very possible. Jerome Flint Steele. You know, it makes the point that I said is kind of the common principle among almost all the arguments, that it's not the internet itself, but instead it's how we use it that makes the difference. And Jerome Flint Steele's point is that actually most people use it to do, you know, things that aren't very intelligent or aren't really adding to people's intelligence. Instead, it's doing something very different than that. And I think that's very true. You know, maybe it's not necessarily how we use it. Maybe it's not the internet itself is what I mean. Maybe it is simply how we use the internet that's at issue. And in that case, you could easily say, I use the internet to broaden my mind, and therefore it is making me smarter. And guess what? I have no argument for that. The question really is more about culturally. And I'm not sure that you know, we can prove anything with that other than what the bow tie guy said, which that it's a reflection of our culture. Red Mage talked about the demographics of the internet contribute to its overall image. And while Red Mage never probably used the actual term demographics, what he did talk about was the idea that there are communities that use it for particular reasons, and that contributes to it. Now, think about this. When the internet came about, most of the people that used it were really, to a certain extent, for a very long time, were really only just the most elitist of the computer geeks. People that actually could afford connections, get on, have connections, and then manage those connections and understand what it meant to connect with them. It later kind of evolved into something that everyone could use to do something, but even then it was really only for mostly the upper middle class, in the very early stages, that could afford it and could, especially because of all the long distance fees and things like that that were involved. And even then there weren't a whole lot of things to do about it. Things began to then kind of propagate all the way down, where you have now, the internet is almost accessible by pretty much anyone that has any kind of a device that can access it, or if you have access to even a public library, which is pretty much everyone in the entire country, and all over the world there are similar kinds of institutions. So the internet is so ubiquitous now. But the fact of the matter is, I think if you ask people how they use the internet, more often than not, what you're going to find is you're going to find the kind of underbelly of humanity before you find some of the more, some of the more kind of high-end, some of the higher pursuits of humanity, right? And you guys know what I mean. Piracy. Illegal purchasing of things, whether it be, drugs or prescriptions or things like that. You find, obviously, pornography, which is a tremendous part of the internet. You find all these kinds of things that, people do, or let's go back to some of the less intellectual pursuits of humanity, like TMZ.com or, I want to go connect with my friends, or I want to go connect with the Jersey Shore program, or I know it's going off the air now, but, all those kinds of things that kind of surround these things that we know and we like. Most of the time when we use the internet, it's not for our kind of higher end intellectual pursuits. I would say a great majority of the internet is not built that way, or is not used that way. But that doesn't mean that the internet is making us stupider. It just means that maybe it certainly presents itself as being a lot more popular for a particular demographic. So I think Red Mage's point is very well taken. Now, here's an interesting point from Mays that I liked. Filtering, in other words, the filtering of information, is a matter and function of intellect. And therefore, another way to measure whether the internet is making us dumber is by understanding if the internet is making us better or worse filterers of information. And I would say, in many cases, it actually has made us a lot better in terms of being filters of information. I could be completely wrong with this. There are people out there that disagree with this position. Most famously, I think one of my favorite scholars of the internet and the mind, Nicholas Carr, C-A-R-R, who really talks about the effects of the internet on our brains. And I think, one thing that it has made many of us is ADD. Doesn't necessarily mean we're all stupid, or the people with ADD are stupid. Not at all. But I definitely find myself having more ADD tendencies because of the filtering that I do with internet information now. That, to me, is a fantastic point. I like the idea that I can filter through a lot of information now. I like the idea, as Mays said, when I see something on the internet that piques my interest, I assume bias. I went through journalism programs, folks. I know that everyone that writes anything is biased. When I write things on the Clan of the Great Wolf, when I present things to you here on the Weekly Ringer, it has some kind of subjective bias to it. I understand that. You guys understand that, and you forgive me part of it because, you want to connect with the ideas that we create with. Same is true of news media outlets, regardless of what size, what creed, what culture. So therefore, there is no objective media. So what I end up doing is exactly what May said, which is I'll go take a piece of information that I think is interesting, get a perspective of it, filter it down. But then I'll go and I'll digest a couple more alternative sources of the same information before I really make up my mind as to what is actually going on there. And what that does, I think, is it creates a lot more of a kind of centralized and more filtered and more strong belief system about kind of the things that you know, quote unquote, right? And that makes the information age very interesting. What I think, though, we cannot ignore, and this is why I think I have to take a little bit of an issue with this, is that for many people, it has made them less good at filtering. It's made them worse at filtering information. It's made them more quick to digest it. Several of you talked about the quickness of digesting information without by believing anything, right? I think the internet aids that a lot more than it goes to folks like Mays and myself, where we actually filter things down and want to get things in two and three different sources before we believe anything. I think the internet does more of the latter, the former than the latter. I think it actually creates more people that are less interested. And as I hear people talk on the news, and as I hear people write comments and things like that on the internet that are not part of this wonderful website we have here, I see a lot of ignorance that gets floated out around there just by virtue of people believe whatever the first headline they read on the internet is. And so I think if you're going to use that as an argument, I think you have to bear the full brunt of it. I don't have any statistics on this, guys, and I'm also not a neurologist. I'm not a neuroscientist. I am not a scholar of how the internet affects our brains. I'm just a guy that likes a lot of things that has to do with the internet and am interested in the way that it's affecting us. So, you know, maybe I know nothing on this, but I think I echo the sentiments of many of you. Ruben, lastly, said that, yeah, and I thought this was really interesting. Great way to tie it back. And again, great to have you on board, Ruben. We should listen to the lessons of RPGs. And here's what I love about this. So several of us talked about the internet being a tool. It wasn't determinant. It was just simply a tool. Well, Ruben says we need to learn the lessons of RPGs, which is that tools can be used for good and tools can be used for evil. We have to make the choice therein. And I think this is the best summation of what my point is absolutely as well, which is that the internet is completely capable of doing both things. It is a tremendous tool that humanity has developed to be able to share information like no other. And I find it difficult to stomach many times when I see the ignorance and stupidity that it propagates. However, I am a person that believes in freedom down to a fault. And if you give people the freedom to be able to propagate as much information as you can, both bad, good, both evil and good, both disgusting and, you know, beautiful, whatever you have, whatever you want, you have to embrace both sides of that if you embrace the true freedom of the internet. And therefore, you're going to see a lot of people use it for really awful things, and you're going to see a lot of people use it for really great things. And I think that's part of the beauty of it. And so my position is exactly the same. I think we should learn the lessons of the RPGs, that the tools of our creation as a human race are indeterminate. They are simply tools within which we can use for really evil things, for really good things, and everything in between. That really goes to solidify my position as well. Anyway, guys, I hope this was a good conversation. I really enjoyed this one. You guys wrote some really, really intelligent comments, and what obviously originated from a very simple idea. Came into one of my favorite weekly ringers in a long time. So thank you all for being a part of that, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation. You know, we got pretty heady about the whole thing, but that's okay. All right, now I want to move on. There's a great topic for this coming week. I think it's going to be pretty heady as well. It's going to be, you know, you got to put your thinking caps on this one as well, because I thought this was a pretty well high thought, high thinking kind of question. So one of the things, and by the way, there are so many things I could have asked about that happened at CES and all these other great things that are happening in gaming right now. But you know what? We talk about gaming all the time. I want to really talk about thought and how we as geeks kind of process information that's interesting to me. Here's something that I did over the course of, so I'll talk about those things, but probably later. What I want to talk about today is something that I did over the winter break and over the course of my New Year's vacation that I took, where I went to Washington, D.C., and I saw some pretty cool stuff there. When I went to DC, I did something that I almost always do when I go to DC, which is I spent some time at the Smithsonian Museums. They're really, really cool, and I have a lot of fun with them, and I always learn a lot or brush up on things that I've forgotten about, and just kind of try to expand my horizons and see the cool things that they have to offer, and see some of the new cool exhibits and some of the new things that have happened, and I did that this time as well. But it got me thinking, and I started thinking about all this as I was going through my vacation, and it really came up, I came up with a question, led me to come up with a question for next week, which is this. So here's your weekly ringer for next week, folks. In the internet age, what is the role of the museum? I think you all see what I'm saying, right? So now we are in the internet age. We all have, places we can go. Because as I'm walking through the museum, I say to myself, man, I could have just looked this up on Wikipedia. I probably could. But what is the value at that point of the museum itself? Is it valuable at all, right? And these are things I'd like to pose to you guys for next week. I want you to think about that. Think about maybe the last time you went to a museum. Think about last time you didn't go to a museum and why. Both of those things are probably interesting pieces of information. And tell me kind of what your thought is about what the role and specificity of those things should be. And I think we'll probably understand a little bit more about where they should be, what they should focus on, and what they probably shouldn't focus on. And we will use that as our basis for conversation for next week. So anyway, that's the question for next week's Weekly Ringer. Thank you all for watching as always. With my illness, getting over my illness, I'll be able to post a lot more, and we'll get back to our weekly cadence here in 2013, the way that God intended for the Weekly Ringer. We're also getting dangerously close to the 100th episode of the Weekly Ringer, which I'm going to have to do something special for as well. So thank you all for being a part of the Weekly Ringer, this wonderful part of the clanofthegreywolf.com. I am the Commodore from said Clan of the Grey Wolf, and there is no reset button.